And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. And we've got Helen Woolley on the line. G'day, Helen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Annie, how are you?
I'm good. Isn't it a beautiful morning?
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, all us early risers.
Yes, exactly.
We get a treat. Now, it's actually very exciting news coming out of Venezuela, isn't it, after the election?
It is indeed. And even before we get on to talking about the elections, it's President Maduro's birthday was on the 23rd of November. So an absolutely wonderful birthday present for him.
Yeah. So tell us, give us more detail.
All right. So the people of Venezuela went to the election polls on the 21st of November. There were something like 72,000 candidates for approximately 3,000 positions as governors and mayors and local government representatives. And at the end of that process, there were 21 seats won by the PSUV, which is the United Socialist Party. So they won 21 of the seats out of 24. And so that's a massive, resounding victory for them, and it consolidates their position in Venezuela that the Venezuelan people have resoundingly said that they support their government.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the opposition or whatever opposition they had has originally said, oh, no, we're not going to involve ourselves in this and boycott the election. But then they decided against that tactic, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. In previous elections, they've said, no, these elections are all fraudulent. Maduro's going to win, and so there's no point standing. And so they've boycotted previous elections. They decided this time that they were going to stand in the elections, and the result was that they got thrashed. And their so-called spokesperson, Juan Guaido, who is recognised by the United States as being the legitimate president, although he was never elected, he's come out and said the opposition needs to unify. They need to get their act together so that they can present an opposition.
So Maduro's party got 21 seats, and one of the other seats actually went to the communists, right?
That's my understanding. Yeah. So that means that as a united left, they won 22 out of the 24 seats.
Okay, and 22 went to some sort of capitalist class.
Yeah, and they were the traditional the two seats that they didn't win. They were in the kind of wealthier areas. So one of them was in where the oil rich kind of fields are. And you'd kind of expect that there'd be wealthier people in there with, you know, direct contact with the oil fields and so on.
Yeah, with particular economic interests, effectively.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is there was international attention and observers at this election.
There were 300 observers. And they were international observers, 100, and they represented 55 countries. 130 of those observers were from the EU, and they attended the ballot sites. They scrutinised votes. They watched the preparation for the voting. They looked over the counting. And Venezuela's system is computerised, so people go in, they show their they show their identity, they put in their vote, and it all gets computerised, and a voter slip showing their vote gets printed out to them. So really they've got a paper trail of every single vote. And so for the United States to claim that it's fraudulent, it's just a process they want to go through to legitimise their or justify their the sanctions and the economic war against Venezuela.
Has the US announced that they say it's fraudulent?
No, they haven't. Not to my knowledge, there've been absolute silence, even from our own media.
Yeah, no, absolutely silent, because I've been keeping my ear and eye out for it.
Yeah, absolute silence. So they don't know how to deal with the situation, because really now it's, you know, the PSUV has cemented their position without a doubt in Venezuela, and the United States just doesn't know what to do about it. So how can they continue to impose sanctions on a country that's, you know, been, the vote's been decided not just once, but over, you know, over the last 20, 23 years or so. But of course, you know, really it's the world banking system that is really at the heart of all of this, because every time the world banking system loses a country to socialism, it loses those vast profits from those countries, you know, in terms of the natural mineral resources and so on. And that's what we're seeing with Venezuela. It's an oil-rich country. The world banking system no longer has control of those oil fields. And so they're losing massive amounts of profit from it. And, of course, this is intolerable to them. So any time they get an opportunity, they claim fraudulent, you know, and not just for Venezuela, but for other countries as well. So then they impose sanctions and make it really difficult for countries to trade internationally. And that's what we're seeing with Venezuela.
Yeah, it is very interesting, as you point out. It's a sort of a new version of imperialist takeover, the economic sanction process coming out of the world trade, the banking system. And it's because of who controls it, and these interests, they're not neutral. The fact that the EU took such an countries took such a big part in being observers is important, isn't it? Because we're talking about different financial power blocks within the world, aren't we?
Exactly. Very interesting, actually, because the European Union, of course, is in a sense suffering at the hands of the US, you know, the US as well. And they're trying to, in some ways, move away from having that central control in the hands of the US. And the US is really just, in terms of the US government is really just a mouthpiece for imperialism, for the world banking system. And the EU is kind of suffering as well, as you say, with that power play that's going on. And so I think that the EU would like to open their markets to other countries more, to have more trade, because, you know, every time sanctions and there's are imposed on a country and another country can't trade with them, then that lessens your ability as a country to thrive economically. And so it's not just, you know, sanctions against Venezuela, but really it ends up imposing restrictions on capitalist countries around the world as well.
Yeah, but it's also, there's this sort of illegality almost, where they hive off the funds of countries. So they did this with Cuba, where they couldn't access, and Venezuela, where they couldn't access their actual, the funds that the nation owned, because of this false statement that Guido, this fellow who had no support, was the actual president. I mean, a country like America telling another country who their elected leader is when he hasn't been elected. I mean, it's extremely weird.
Oh, just incredible. And the US and British banking system have stolen billions of Venezuelans' money and have it in, and I think, and have virtually given Guaido loads of it to fund activities outside of Venezuela. It's a criminal system that we live under, and it's all to do with this profits in command, and that's what they hate the most about Venezuela, and that's what they hate most about socialism, full stop, is that, you know, no longer are profits in command, and people are in command. And when you talk about the economy of Venezuela, you can't separate that from the people, whereas in the economy of Australia and America is separated from the people. It doesn't. We've seen the devastating effect of that, you know, where people are going, especially in the US, people are going hungry and so on.
Yeah, there's this other element that I've been really interested in too, which is whenever the Americans don't, you know, the establishment of America doesn't like a country, they use this particular thing. Or when, you know, like in South America, they're in Chile, where the indigenous people are fighting for their land against extractivist industries, they are now being branded as drug dealers and terrorists because these two labels allow carte blanche in violent retaliation. And this was also slated against Venezuela, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And that, you know, they use certain mechanisms to try and legitimize attacks on a country. And, you know, against Iraq, it was a war against terror and or weapons of mass destruction. So they went in and bombed the shit out of that country. And, you know, they're just fraudulent claims that they need to make in order to get inroads into destroying movements against them, basically. Can I just go back to the elections in Venezuela? Because what's interesting is that, you know, they talk about democracy and so on, and that we have the most democratic systems in the world. But in Venezuela, you know, most countries in the West have, or most countries have, three tiers of government: the, you know, the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive. Well, in Venezuela, there's actually five arms or five powers. So they have those three branches of government: judiciary, legislative, and executive. But they also have two others. So they have a moral branch and an electoral branch. So they've got five powers of government, and each of those obviously equally important. So the whole electoral system is part of, well, it has its own powers, and it's scrutinised by the government, scrutinised by the people, and you know, that proves that they're trying to evolve a more democratic system.
Yeah, and
so for the US to claim that it's not democratic is, you know, it's absolutely insane.
What's the future for Venezuela now that this has happened, in your view?
Well, I think it's for Venezuela, I think it's probably business as usual. they know their power and their strength lies with their people, and they know now they absolutely, and I think the rest of the world know that there is absolutely no way that the Venezuelan people are going to give up what they've been fighting for, and no threat, no sanctions will demoralize that system. And there was a person, her name's Tania Diaz, and she's a representative, and she said the only way to change the political regime in Venezuela is presenting a political program to convince the people and to win through the elections. But for the opposition, that's, you know, and so she's saying, well, our democratic system is the best. We fully understand it. We fully support it. And if you want to come in and take over, then you need to win the heart and the minds of the people through the electoral system, and it's not going to happen. There is just no way the opposition is going to ever be unified enough. What's their program going to be? They want to put profits back at command. They want to be able to use those oil-rich resources that they've got for the profits of a few, whereas Venezuela at the moment are using all of their resources to benefit the people, not the few that might make millions out of profit and so on.
Ah, fantastic. Music to our ears. Now tell
exactly.
Us, you're part of a Friends of Venezuela group. Do you want to tell people, if they want to be part of that, how to contact you guys?
Yeah, so you can email the Venezuelan Solidarity Campaign at bsc.melbourne @gmail.com. We meet every week. We discuss fundraising activities. We discuss how we can raise awareness of what's happening in Venezuela. We write articles. We have contact with the embassy in Canberra. We try to work with other people around Australia to, you know, promote Venezuela. And we're trying to run a campaign against the sanctions and draw attention to, you know, how Australia could maybe be involved with Venezuela to increase trade and promote a win-win situation between Venezuela and Australia. I've sent several letters to our foreign ministers and had replies from them, and they basically say that they follow the US and that Guaido is the legitimate representative, and they don't back the sanctions, but they don't back the US role in the sanctions, but they will follow the UN. And if the UN sanctions a country, then Australia will go with those sanctions. So there's no independence there. There's no, you know, there's no investigation by our foreign minister as to what the situation in Venezuela is. I'll be writing her a letter presenting the case of Venezuela again with the new elections and saying, well, now will you recognise Venezuela? And it will be interesting to see what their reply is. Yeah. But we also have a Facebook page, and that is the Venezuela Solidarity Campaign Melbourne.
Great.
So you can get in touch with us through that as well.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Oh, thank you very much, Annie.